You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
As the host and executive producer of Watch What Happens Live, an executive producer of the Real Housewives franchise, and the mediator of the infamous Housewife reunion specials, Andy Cohn often finds himself in the crosshairs of some very unusual celebrity confrontations. He's also an author. His last book, The Andy Cohn Diaries, found inspiration in another Andy, Andy Warhol, and his diaries. And now Mr. Cohn has released a follow-up to that book called Superficial: More Adventures from the Andy Cohn Diaries, with more stories from his unconventional life. It's published by Henry Holt, and I'm very pleased to welcome him back to our show today.
So
welcome
happy
back.
To be here.
Although you've been a guest on the show twice, both times I was on vacation.
I know.
I hope you didn't take it personally.
Well, I wondered. The second time I came here and Joy Behar was here, I was like, uh-oh, there's a problem.
Why would that have been a problem? She's,
well, no.
She's
no,
actually
I
an experienced interviewer.
No, I love Joy.
And Jonathan Capehart
no,
is great,
No, I just
too.
Thought you were avoiding me. That's all. that's what the problem was.
I just had to wait my turn.
Yes, that's right.
You're right that you considered a few other titles for this book, including I'm Not Really This Vain, but after smoking a joint with Amy Sedaris, you narrowed it down to either artificial intelligence or superficial.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I want to know more about that conversation. How much can you remember?
I remember. I wanted to poke. I wrote a memoir called Most Talkative. It was my first book. And I just thought, this is the most egotistical thing I will ever do, write a memoir of, you know, just, it just felt so egotistical. Then I published my diary. I said, well, this is the most egotistical thing ever. So then in doing a follow-up to the diary, I just thought, oh my God, this is so superficial. I just cannot believe it.
But aren't you almost inviting critics to go to town with a title like
Well,
that?
I think that I'm, it's, you remember when gay people took back ownership of the word queer, or when after Trump called Hillary a nasty woman, all these women kept saying, I'm a nasty woman, or Trump supporters said, I'm a deplorable. I'm flying the flag. I'm owning it. So that, and then I think people will be surprised because I'm maybe not as superficial as I advertise.
Although you're
right
that superficial is both dead on and somewhat misleading.
Yes, it's true. It's true. The process of writing a diary has actually caused me to be much more introspective than I think that I was 3 years ago.
Was that one of the reasons for writing a diary in the first place, to get to know yourself?
No, I think I love telling stories and I love making people laugh. And I think that my life is very unusual. The people that I meet and the people that I see and the places that I go. I loved the Andy Warhol diaries. I just thought it was so great. And of course,
and people thought he was superficial too.
Well, they did. And it was published after he died. And they also thought he was a little mean because it said in this book everything he really thought about everybody. And in my first diary, I wasn't mean, but I certainly peel back the layer of what it's like to be a celebrity and what it's like also hosting a show where you're interacting with celebrities and having to kind of deal with their needs and wants and issues, and producing a show where you're making celebrities out of real people, which is what I do with The Housewives, and what that process is like. My life is often very, it's really unusual. So that's why I wrote the first one. And I wrote the second one because I was in such a groove from writing the first one that I said, I'm going to keep going. Holt didn't know if they even wanted it. But I said, I'm doing this. This content is too great.
Do you make an entry every day?
Yeah. In the second one, I skipped some days like they do in Warhol's diaries because it takes place in almost 2 years of my life.
But you also are writing knowing full well that people are going to be reading it.
Yeah.
It's not the same as what most diaries are.
Absolutely.
Which is you just write it for yourself.
It's true, but I went further in the second one both with myself and with other people than I did in the first one. And it actually became, at the end, emotionally exhausting after 3 years to have been reporting on my life as I was living it. And I put the pen down, and I haven't written an entry since.
Now, the whole business of being a celebrity becomes a complicated matter. Are celebrities all that different in the end? They're just
humans. I mean, I walk out of my door and I think of myself as a New Yorker every day, and I go walk my dog and I forget that I'm quote, famous until someone comes up and asks me for a selfie.
What's your response to those people who complain that they're stopped for autographs and for photographs?
Well, sometimes there's a moment when I'm at a book signing in Miami and I've taken about 700 selfies, no joke, within the course of 8 hours. And this woman comes up to me and I actually lose my cool and I try to hug her to death, and I realize what I'm doing and I stop. But so what I say is it's part of the thing, but there are moments where you don't feel like it, like everything. I mean, I would say that I say yes 99% of the time.
And then there's a whole matter of celebrities having to show their best side. I've had this experience where I've had this guest who was just fabulous as far as I was concerned, and then my staff will say, oh,
they were horrible.
I hope we never have that person back. I said, well, what was the problem? Oh, in the ready room, they were just impossible.
Yeah. I will say there are a few people that I think that I pull back the curtain on, and then, you know, I certainly pull back the curtain on the process of hosting a late night talk show, and I'm sitting there and Nicki Minaj's publicist comes in and says, you can't ask about X, Y, and Z in the negotiation that follows. Because I think that's fascinating. I think that's almost more fascinating than what winds up on the air sometimes.
Well, in many of those late night shows, very little of substance winds up on the air.
Well, it depends what you call substance, right?
Well, Nicki Minaj won't let you to say, ask her any interesting questions. Right, that's a whole other matter.
Oh, no, I will always go there. I will always figure out a solution.
My guest is Andy Cohen, whose latest book, and we can say that, is Superficial, More Adventures from the Andy Cohen Diaries. You also write a lot about your dog.
Waka. He's named
a key
after...
figure in your life,
yes.
But as it turns out, he also has some neuroses. Are you saying that your dog has a more complex emotional life than you do?
I might be. I actually might be. He's a rescue, and the first diary was such a love letter to. I had never had an animal. I had never had a dog, and so it was really a love letter to my dog and about, you know, what he brought to me and how he opened my heart. And this one is I'm dealing with the realistic moment of this dog has PTSD because he was abused in his former life, and what that he bites Anderson Cooper one day,
and Anderson is still willing to be on tour with me.
Yeah. But it is, you know, it is trying to negotiate his boundaries and mine. It becomes a different relationship with my dog in the sequel.
What can be done for a dog with PTSD?
Well, I have to learn what his signals are and what his triggers are. And I have learned, actually. Yeah. He and Anderson have made up, by the way.
Does taking a dog to the park allow you to spend some time with normal people, people who aren't celebrities?
I spend time with normal people every day. And whether it's, you know, taking my dog out or, you know, my friends. I mean, I have a lot of friends who are famous, but I have more who are not famous.
What about the Real Housewives? Do you consider them celebrities?
I do. You know, I always say if Warhol were alive, he would have painted a few of the Real Housewives, I think. He was so interested in fame and anyone becoming famous and normal people becoming famous. And though some consider them abnormal, they are famous. And what was the original question?
Well, I asked if you consider them celebrities, but you're actually watching
them
going from normal to celebrity status.
I do. I think the definition of celebrity is different today than it ever was. I think they're far more, and you're known for different things. And fame has become complete. The idea has been really expanded, and they're notorious. And, you know, certainly the Housewives and the Kardashians are covered ruthlessly and endlessly in Us magazine and magazines like that. So that is a certain level of big fame, yeah.
Anyone who has been watching the New Jersey and Orange County reunions can see that some of those women will make you nervous at times.
Yes, they will.
Wasn't there a point during one of the New Jersey reunions that you begged everyone to stay on their couches?
I did.
Yes. Have you been afraid during
it? I've not really been afraid, no. I've been, my eardrums have been challenged over the course of my broadcasting career, but I haven't really been afraid. I'm also an executive producer of that show, so really people ask me, how do you get through it? How do you do it? And in my mind, there's a part of me that's thinking about how it's going to lay out on the show and whether we can make it two parts or how it's going
to
be.
And you want a little tension to keep the show exciting.
100,000%. Yes, absolutely.
One of the more memorable diary entries is from Sunday, September 7th, 2014, here in New York. You were at Joan Rivers' funeral.
The book opens on that day. That is the first entry in the book. We were friendly and had a great, she was a great kind of champion of mine and was really loyal and went out of her way for me. I had appeared on a Bravo pilot with her some years back, way before I ever was hosting any Housewives events or anything. And she was, I considered her really incredible person. And I was developing a show with her before she died. And yeah, that was the first day of this book on her, the day of her funeral.
I loved her as a guest. She always made me laugh. Yeah. And yet I would get angry mail from listeners. How could you put that woman on your show?
Well,
and
crazy.
I never got that.
Yeah, me either.
I mean, she had an invented persona. That's
yes.
part of what a lot of celebrities go through.
It's true.
Was reserved seating at the funeral.
There was.
You were in a row with Sarah Jessica Parker, Matthew Broderick, Christian Chenoweth, Rosie O'Donnell, and Kathy Griffin.
That's
Weren't
right.
you kind of angry with Kathy at the time because you'd heard rumors that she was trash talking?
Someone, a friend had said, oh, wow, she had said some, like a few days before. They had reported to me, and this is something that I probably wouldn't have put in my book, in the first book, but I was like, I just threw it all in there.
So
and I
did
was
you
like,
work it out?
Here
is
I
that
am.
Funeral an appropriate
no,
place?
No, we've never spoken about it, actually, so I guess she'll find out there. But no, but here I am sitting, you know, next, you know, at a funeral, and I'm sitting there thinking. We were walking out, actually, together, and it was very quiet, and I hate silence, and I was trying to make kind of nervous conversation with her, and I thought, why am I trying to make this easier for her when I just heard what she was saying about me.
Your entry for September 15, 2014 is poignant. It was 25 years after you'd come out of the closet and you were sitting in a doctor's office waiting for the results of an AIDS test. How old were you when you came out?
I was 22 and I came out in the age of where if you came out, it seemed like it was probably a death sentence. There was, you know, no cure, no treatment, no, the message about safe sex was not being necessarily effectively spread. And so, yeah, that's another moment I probably wouldn't have put in my first book, but it was real and it's a part of my life.
A number of gay people have talked about suddenly being attacked in the wake of the election.
Right.
Some people feel now that they're free to be able to say whatever they want. But do you think that the country has changed a lot over the years?
Yes, of course. Yes, I think attitudes towards gay people have changed a lot over the years. I think that absolutely. And I think, you know, Obama was a wonderful kind of
although he changed
for us, and he changed, right? He wasn't, you know, and a lot of people now angrily tweeted me that Hillary Clinton used to not be for gay marriage. I said, well, you're right. A lot of people weren't, but she evolved on the issue. And I, you know, I think that's great. And I was happy that the president-elect obviously said last night on 60 Minutes that he's not going to touch gay marriage. He has the most anti-gay vice president probably ever to hold elected office. And so I'm also nervous as a gay man.
You have a successful show with Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, we're on tour together.
It's called AC2 Live.
It's called AC2. It's called AC Squared, Deep Talk
AC
and Shallow
Squared.
Tales. We're going to be at the Beacon Theater on January 27th, actually. We've been on the road for a year and a half or so, almost 2 years, and we've not yet come to New York. We've been to 20-something cities. But it's a really fun night of conversation and very funny, and it's like going to a bar with the two of us, and we will tell you our greatest stories.
But you don't fight. Even when you lost his luggage in Brazil,
yes,
he was very upset.
Yeah, he was not pleased with me. Anderson's a big part of the book because we travel the country together, and so he appears throughout this thing.
You've said that you love your celebrity, and that in part is because it came when you were
later
a little
in
older.
Life. Yeah, I think Anderson.
But doesn't that come as a surprise? I always wonder about those kids who become stars and then have to live with it. I mean, they become stars before they're prepared for it.
It's true. It was Anderson always says to me, no one enjoys being famous more than you. And I say, well, you have to understand something. I was not famous for most of my life. So then I turn around the time I turned 40 early 40s. I then become famous. And I lived in New York at that time for almost 20 years. And suddenly I can get restaurant reservations and, you know, people treat me nicely. It's like, oh, okay, well, this isn't bad. What's wrong with this?
Your diary is full of Tinder encounters and similar moments. Isn't it rather risky to be a famous person on Tinder?
Yeah, people wonder about that. I don't think so. I think you can get a sense. It's pretty easy to kind of cross-reference someone's Facebook profile. You can look at them, and you're only in contact with them on Tinder if you both swipe on each other. So that's the only way you can actually interact with each other. And once you do, you get access to their Facebook profile, and it's pretty easy to figure out if someone is a catfish or a real person. And then if I ever were to meet them, it would be in a public place. And so I feel pretty safe about it.
You say that you couldn't meet an architect in Brooklyn in your normal life.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
so
I
that's
just,
why it was helpful
I was like,
to be
look,
on Tinder.
Yeah. I just thought that would be fun. I dated on Tinder more in my first book than the second book. In my second book, I actually meet someone and I wind up dating them.
I've been encouraged to write a memoir, but my big fear is that if I tell some of the stories that are really fun, I'm not going to have anybody come on the show anymore.
I think there's a way to tell them where, for me, people, I've been doing interviews supporting the book over the last few days, and people have been surprised by some of the names that I name. And I say, look, this is what you have to understand. In most of these stories, I'm the butt of the joke. I'm the guy saying the wrong thing. So you never know how someone's going to take it. But I feel pretty confident that you have enough of a history that you can tell your stories and people will still be begging to come on your show as I did today.
Andy Cohen is the host and executive producer of Watch What Happens Live on Bravo. He is the executive producer of the Real Housewives franchise and hosts the network's highly rated reunion specials. He tours nationally with Anderson Cooper in AC Squared, hosts and produces Then and Now with Andy Cohen on Bravo, curates and appears on Radio Andy on Sirius XM. He's won an Emmy and 2 Peabody Awards, and he has had 2 New York Times bestsellers, Most Talkative and The Andy Cohen Diaries, and now there's Superficial, More Adventures from the Andy Cohen Diaries. It is published by Henry Holt, and we've run out of time, but Andy,
Thank
it's been
you
a lot
so
of fun.
Much. Really appreciate it.